Entrance and Azure SQL Database. Let's get started with today's show. We show with Michael Gennady. Today, Michael will be joined by guest Bill Emmerich. Mike, take it away.
Hey, welcome to Midday Cafe and another Monday. An exciting Monday.
Yeah, very good. Very exciting.
Is your voice going to make it today with us?
I'm hoping. Too much partying over the weekend.
So we're going to be talking with Bill all about SQL 2016, Azure, and all that good stuff. But you had a long last week, a whole bunch of stuff which has led to your vocal roughness.
Traveling in the middle of last week, lost my voice, and then my daughter got married on Friday, and all the partying, and then entertaining Saturday brunch. My voice just went, and it's just starting to come back.
Well, congratulations on the marriage. And you're now in debt. Did you have to sell any bodily organs? That's what I want to know.
Actually, my daughter and son-in-law paid for it themselves.
Wow. Yes, awesome. Good for them.
I'm very proud of them.
Yeah, no kidding. But you're with us today?
I am with you.
Very excited, and we're happy to have Bill because after this, you're doing what?
I'm traveling out to Pittsburgh.
He's back on the road again. Yeah, so we're very happy to have Bill in here. We're going to be talking about Azure SQL Database in just a bit. But we have a full schedule today. Just real quickly, again, Midday Cafe is brought to you by the following: Worldwide MTC Studios, Skype Broadcasting, which is how we broadcast, NewTek TriCaster, which is our hub for all things that we do on the broadcasting front, Skype TX if we want remote presenters, and more about that, some exciting news at the end of the day around upcoming events. Yammer for our integrated discussion. So if you look below the video, there's an integrated Yammer feed. If you're not already a part of our Yammer group, you need to request access. That's posted on our announcement for today, so you can go ahead and do so. I mentioned Yammer, Azure, where all this is hosted. Sitecore, who donated the software. Sitecore Web Content Management, this website runs on. And finally, Microsoft's partner Proficient, who built our website for WWMTC Studios.
That's the advertisement.
And that brings us now from our advertising to today's agenda. So first off, we have Microsoft Tech News, some very cool things I'm going to want to cover. Then we're going to dive right into security enhancements in Azure SQL Database. We're going to follow it up with an app of the week from my phone on our little high-tech mechanism for sharing. And then finally, upcoming events. And again, some exciting announcements around that, some things we're going to be covering. So Microsoft Tech News. So I'm going to actually get out of the PowerPoint, and Stephen, let's go ahead and go full screen. And we're going to start off right here. The first of our news stories comes to us off the Office blogs, and it is around a Sway use case, series number four. So actually, if you haven't seen, they're doing Sway use cases around this, and then walking through, and this time it's one that I've talked about before using it to capture travel. And they talk about how it's a digital storytelling app, yada, yada, yada. And it says, swaying your vacation and adventures with interactive multimedia. And then they walk through this whole piece here with a sway that was done in Taipei, this piece. And you can go full screen, you can walk through, and you can see we can click through this whole thing. But I'm not going to walk through it. What I want to point out is this. And I highly encourage you to take a look at this one. They have a whole bunch of examples of travel. Here we see different ones. Crown Jewel, Logan Pass, Italy. Oh, Italia, molto bene. My summer plans, as told by Sway. And again, they even have a travel guide around food that's being done. It's called Roads and Kingdom. This is one done for retail, as it were. And this has to do with Anthony Bourdain. If you've ever seen his Destination Unknown shows and stuff, some killer stuff. But the point is this. Sway is a great application for capturing all the medium of your travel adventure, be it pictures, be it video, it could be maps around about it, your updates around the day. Capture it. I think about cruises as a prime example of this, or even if you go on a tour or anything where you go out and you're traveling, Sway is the way to capture it, make it available both for the enterprise as well as for personal.
Be careful on those cruises. Another guy fell off a boat just recently.
I saw that.
My wife keeps inviting me.
I have to.
I'm just a little worried.
Well, so there was the issue. It seems that he was not liked by his no. So actually, I guess from what I gathered, it was his own. He crawled out on a
Not the smartest thing.
Darwin's, you know, I don't want to be insensitive, but maybe Darwin's law might have been in effect at that moment. So, Sway is a great thing for those travel, jumping off the cruise ship, notwithstanding, it's a great way to capture cruises, all kinds of travel.
I do think they have a swimming pool on the boat. You don't have to go out into the sea for it.
I do believe I visited that once or twice. All right, our next one. This is pretty cool. Office 365 admin updates from portal enhancements to PowerShell. So there is all kinds of goodies they've been rolling out around that. And if you're an Office 365 administrator, they have a number of new pieces. Lawrence Chu takes you on a tour of those updates for admins. You're going to want to take a look at this after the break if you are administering Office 365 for your organization. Next up. Email archive. Five reasons why this is the best email feature you never use. Bill, do you use your archive feature?
I'm afraid to say I do.
You do?
I do. I still actually have an archive of all the emails that have been sent to me and that I sent since I first started 18 years ago.
And the beautiful thing of it is with Office 365, you get unlimited archive. And here's the thing. A lot of folks have no idea, right? So they actually have five of the best reasons for this thing. A lot of folks still come in who are Office 365 customers. And when I say, you know, you get unlimited email archive, they look at me like, what? And it's like, whoa, you get it. And so,
come on, you think about it. The way we used to do it is you had all those, you know, offline stores that you'd keep on your machine. And there was, after a while, you ran out of space on your machine because the files were 2, 3, 4, 5 gig in size. It's very quick to run out of space when you start archiving.
It is. But here you just get it all. So here they talk about email archiving. Take a look at this. And this is one to share with your colleagues. Get them using that archive, taking advantage, and really leveraging your investment in Office 365. Next one, and this actually, Tariq, I was laughing because I grabbed this for the news. I actually tweeted it this morning, and it is this, a new Skype for Business look for Link Room Systems. So if you've got a Link Room system, you know, certainly we love the new Surface Hub with the integrated feature, but a lot of folks have the Link Room systems from some of our vendors that are out there, like Smart, Crestron,
Polycom,
right? And so there is a new experience, and they announced how they were going from, you know, Link to Skype for Business. And it said, we are happy to announce the Link Room systems will be updated, and it has started. So Tariq was all over this morning.
That's great.
Tim stepped out of his office and said, Tariq,
hey, that's good that he's on top of it, and that we don't have to tell him about stuff he should be knowing about.
That's correct. We don't have to have him watch this show just to get the news around it. So if you have a Link Room system, something you'll want to take a look at, the new updated UI, it's much more user friendly, and again, fitting in with that whole Skype for Business look and feel, new privacy sessions or settings and things moving forward. Beautiful thing. Take a look, and we'll have those links posted again after the break with the archive. Next up, Oh, and I actually didn't want that one. Here we go. Announcing Windows 10 Insider Preview Build 10586. I actually just got this on my Dell Venue 8 at home. So if you are on the Insider Preview program, they came out with the update, and they have a number of the fixes that they had that came out here, improving things around Groove Music, videos, TV, and movie apps, reducing the... playtime, you know, to start by 75%. Pressing the power button on your Surface Pro 3 should put your Surface Pro 3, allowing you to go to sleep instead of just shutting it down. That's kind of important. And some other pieces around there with pins, etc. So take a look at that if you're on the preview program. Some neat updates that are available to you and that you should be looking at. Next up, Windows.
Oh, can we go back to that for a second?
We can.
What's the importance to the preview program for people who don't know about it? What's the importance to us and also to them? Go ahead.
Go ahead. I mean, twofold, right? So if you're on the preview program, you're going to get access. And it's important to note, they're going to get the access to the bits after they've already had some initial testing done internally. So for some of us,
the pain that we've been
through. Actually, you can come back here, Steve, for a second. So we are, you know, it's that eat your dog food mentality. So here at Microsoft, we get those bits actually earlier so that we're, if there's some raw edges, they're testing them on us first. But when it does come out like it does here with the preview program, and they have fast and slow, and this is for the fast ring. And so, for example, mine got it, like I said, at home. The benefits are twofold. Number one, it gets you the opportunity to not only have access earlier to some of the updates and fixes and not have to wait, but it also gives you the chance to provide feedback directly to the product teams.
So it's really for more of the technical savvy people. You wouldn't put it on your mom and dad's machine until...
That's a great point. So my mom and dad, my mother-in-law, my wife, no. They're not getting them.
Don't you want calls during the day?
You know, I get those as it is, so I try to avoid that. I actually just dealt with a whole one around the new mail client and having to walk my mother-in-law through it. She's getting used to, she's been on Live Essentials for years and didn't want to move, and she started to, and we had to go through how we do email in the new app world. But this is for tech-savvy folks who want to have direct input to the product teams. They can get access. And to be honest, I enjoy it because, like on my Dell Venue 8, it improves. I've actually found that it's improvement. It's not the daily builds and other things like I do on my own phone. Living on the edge. It's something where it's gotten some initial testing, and so it allows you to get a fairly good, stable build, but then have product feedback.
And it's important for us to have that because, one, it gives us the feedback, but also as a tech-savvy person, it keeps you ahead of the game, right? It keeps you ahead, so when somebody else asks you, you actually have the experience that you can share and say, yeah, you know, it's just not ready yet, or it's great, and you're going to like these features. You become the go-to person and the expert.
And actually, even for the enterprise space, you're going to have some folks within your org who should be responsible for the updates and rollouts, you know, and how they meter that. They should have access to that preview build so that they're, again, providing feedback and ahead of the game, know what's or ahead of the curve, know what's coming for their employees down the road, right?
Yep.
So great. Thank you.
Sure.
That's good. Awesome.
Just trying to delay my talk.
So a couple of last things that we have here. Windows Store app submission deadlines for the upcoming holidays. So, you know, we actually do review your apps when you submit them to the Windows Store. So if you want to get those in, they're saying if you want to make sure it's in here for this holiday season so that they have here a schedule submission, you want it by Thanksgiving, then the app deadline, you really should have it in by November 18th. If you want it in by before Christmas, by December 15th, and before New Year's, December 18th, right? And that is because, and notice, it's, you know, they even earlier for that New Year's, because we have people going on vacation. I mean, We are not automatons. We don't have, you know, robots sitting there. These are real people with real lives who are reviewing. So, you know, if you're going to submit one, make sure that you go ahead and do so on time. Check that out after the break, and we'll have that. The next one is a feel-good story. Upgrade your world, recognizing the work of Keep a Child Alive. And they have these different Upgrade Your World initiatives. This one is around an organization that works to eradicate AIDS amongst children and youth, which are oftentimes, you know, unfortunately, the victims in all this and the things that happen in some of these different third world countries, et cetera. And so here it's talking about an effort where we're supporting this effort, Keep Your Child Alive, and we just invested over $500,000 in some of the things that they're doing with technology to drive their efforts. And it's really around, we made investments in the technology they needed in their efforts and working with this. Great feel-good story with a video you can watch on the efforts. Maybe you might want to get involved too. Last two news, add video interstitial ads to your Windows Store apps. So the Microsoft Universal Ad Client SDK now supports video. So if you want to add ads into your apps and put those in, you can now include video as a part of that. I'm not going to go into any in-depth here. They have all the different ways of adding that. Take a look at this if you want to add that special little element within yours. And finally, last but not least, this kind of goes along with that whole sway, you know, swaying your vacation or your trips. How to plan a trip on your surface. Getting the most out of your vacation with these tips for selecting destinations, planning your itinerary, booking flights and accommodations, and I would add, then capturing that trip on your surface. And they walk through a number of the best apps, things that you can do for research, all the good stuff around that, as well as booking, etc. There are some very cool things for folks out there using Surface. We use them here. My wife has a Surface too that she has and uses. My father-in-law still on a Surface One and loves it.
I convinced my brother to get a Surface Pro 3. He loves it. Now he's giving it to his son who's at college so he can go out and buy a Surface Pro 4.
Wow, very nice. Very nice. And my son actually got hands-on just the other day and said the keyboard on that, he noticed a substantial improvement from 3 to 4 in the keyboard.
Well, we just got two in here.
Whoa, really?
One's already out on our device bar.
Very nice. That's it, what I have for news. So we're going to now be switching gears. We're going to talk about security enhancements in Azure SQL Database, really focusing on SQL 2016.
What we're going to talk about is, you know, enhancements that have already been implemented into Azure SQL Database that will be added and released with the 2016 product.
Very nice.
And just so you understand that that's the way a lot of our features are now going to be released is they're going to first show up in Azure and then rolled into the on-prem as we release the on-prem products in probably a short iteration of releases.
Sure.
Right? More through our cumulative updates, you'll see enhancements.
And in this, we're talking specifically around those updates with SQL for those on-prem.
Yeah, so and specifically around security, because that's really the big concern. Obviously, when you go to Azure, the first question we always get asked is security.
How do you secure security? Yeah. Excellent. So let's go ahead and we're going to take my desktop out of the mix. We're going to switch on over to Bill's back here.
Do I really look this good?
No, I do not. That's a dated bobblehead. I have much less hair than I had at the time that one.
We can paint that out then.
I'll get an updated one. I'll look like, which one's bald? Mo, Larry, or Curly? It's Curly, right? Curly actually had,
No, it's Larry.
It's Larry had the bald head. There you go.
No, Larry finally, no. Larry's got the curly hair.
The bald guy was
Curly's
curly. No hair, that's what I'm saying.
Certainly.
That's me. All right, so do we have him in the background? And you let him know when you want to go full screen, and I'm going to kick it over to you.
So actually, there's no reason for you to see my face. So
all right.
Why don't we switch over to the desktop because I'm gonna just really pull up one of the many slides in this slide deck that talks about all the enhancements coming with SQL 2016. I'm really focusing on these enhancements in 2016, but again, as I said earlier, several of these have already been implemented into SQL Azure, and I want to call them out because, you know, when they come into SQL on-prem, they've already been fully vetted. You know, the field is utilizing them. They're already solid. We've identified a number of things that we've missed in cumulative updates or have been enhanced from one cumulative update. So actually, if you've already installed a cumulative update or the CTP 1.2 or 2, really what you need to do is get the CTP 3 CTP 3 actually has a lot of the problems or a lot of the concerns that customers have pointed out on some of these, but again you understand that this is an ongoing iteration until we get to frozen code and release. So just to quickly go over, SQL Server is actually for the last six years in a row we have been the most utilized and the least vulnerable database platform in the market.
Wait, 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 let's whoa, whoa. So I have, you know, many clients, as do you, we have clients in financial services and healthcare, manufacturing, all these different ones, but it's like, well, when we're talking enterprise database, it's this one that's red, or this one from that three-letter company, or that, you know, but in fact, this is enterprise database, the most widely utilized and the most secure. That's correct. SQL. So typically you'll hear, well, you don't have as many vulnerabilities because you're not highly utilized.
Well, we are the most utilized.
Right.
And the least vulnerable.
So we're not,
and a good portion of it is because of these CTP programs. We're identifying these problems before they're released into production.
And again, CTP stands for
Consumer Technology Preview.
So that's that opportunity, like with Windows, right? To get previewing from a technical perspective. What's coming down the pike, preview it, and provide feedback. Awesome.
So, you know, going down through the list, SQL auditing, advanced threat analytics allowing us to identify possible threats onto the database. And down in the lower half of the slide, you'll see always encrypted means that the data is encrypted from at rest. To the time it reaches the client's machine. So if I'm actually asking for Social Security information coming back, it is encrypted along the line and de-encrypted on the client's desktop. So as secure as we can in the transportation, and as it says, transparent data encryption, right? So when the data is at rest, transportation encryption ensures that if somebody was able to take the database, the files, and take them off site and try and get access to them, they are encrypted and would be useless to them. Then we have what we've added on the Windows Azure side is Windows Authentication. We've added row-level security. So think about this. We've had this ask for years. I have a DBA who is responsible for the operational pieces of a database. Right? Let's say it's the HR system. Right? And that has employee information, Social Security information. It has other personal data. It also has their salary or bonuses and things like that.
Does it have our spousal comments about how they want to see that up?
No, luckily they don't. Luckily they don't. We have to retain that internally.
There we go.
So Now you have the capability of locking down the database that the DBA can still perform their job function,
okay,
but cannot see the data. So they can manage indexes, they can rebuild indexes, create indexes, create functions, but they do not have the capability of actually doing the select to see the data.
Okay.
Right? And the bottom one in that list of control access is dynamic data masking. We've all seen this. You go out to a store and you buy something with your credit card. Right? Your credit card is masked except for the last four characters, so you know which credit card you used for that receipt. Right?
Right?
That's data masking. Right? So now when a user goes into and selects data out of a table, I can put a mask over specific columns, so that way, depending on who it is,
I can
clear out or mask the data in that column on what gets returned. Although they'll be able to select that column, what comes back, for example, would be X's instead of actual Social Security number or salary. Right? So really becoming more secure and really hearing the customer's need to be able to provide more control over how and what they can see.
Gotcha.
So I thought maybe what I'd do is I'm going to just quickly go in and show a demo of the dynamic data masking just to see how that works. So I'm going to, and I'm going to do it on
dynamic data masking.
Dynamic data masking.
When I heard that, you know what I went through my head? The dynamic duo.
The dynamic duo. Riddle me this, Batman.
Yes.
Yes.
So this pow. Are we going to get pow on here?
Wait, I got to get my belt. And do I have to wear those leotards?
No, I think we're going to spare everybody, both of us, wearing leotards. Because if you're wearing the Batman ones, I'm wearing the yellow Robin ones.
Well,
nobody needs to see
that. I thought I was going to be Robin there, so we're both better off. So I'm going to walk through this. Some of the stuff I've already set up, so I'm going to talk through it. First, I'm going to create this user, and the user's name is Peon. Right, just to make sure that we're clear. You know that how far they rank in
They're not very high up. They're pretty low in the hierarchy.
I've created this database called DDM for dynamic data masking. Right, and I go to use it, and then I add a user. The user peon into that database.
I'm going to start using that as a sample name for my thing.
There we go.
Peon. I love that.
Right?
Yes.
And then I'm going to scroll down here. What you'll see is I created a table called employees. One of the columns is salary. I also have their username.
Okay.
Or what their name is.
Right, right.
Okay.
Okay.
I've added three rows. This is a huge table.
This is a large organization here. This is.
We're stressing
this is
Fortune
50.
We really are.
I can see that.
Then what I do is I actually create a function. And I'm altering the table, the employee table, and I'm altering the column salary, and I'm adding a masking function. And I'm using the function default. What that means is it's actually going to take a default and mask out that column
with
a default value, whatever
certain
default. All right. I'm going to grant Peon access to that employees table. So when Peon goes in and I log in and I execute this, you'll notice down in the bottom here, which might be hard to see, but you'll notice that he sees salaries. Obviously, everybody's
they're highly paid. I see.
A little bit of sweat labor here, but don't worry about it. That's what we paid our nieces this weekend to help us arrange flowers because my wife did the flowers for the wedding.
Gotcha.
So that's what they earned.
That's what I've paid my children. Over the years.
I fed them.
Yes.
I think that constitutes payment, right?
I think so.
There we go.
In family, absolutely. Outside of that, we might be doing jail time.
True. So then I'm going to utilize and select from that employees table.
Right.
And I'm going to be utilizing I want to convert the salary, right, to take
right,
a look,
take
at,
a look
it.
At it.
And when I execute, when I execute it, you'll notice
in the final column are X's.
Okay.
Okay.
This is because what it's doing is it's now masking the column salary. Based on my rights. So up above, I was coming in and just going in and selecting the tables, and I reverted back. Then I'm going to come in and I'm going to use it, and I'm selecting with specific salary, and I'm asking for it to change the data. And it's actually going to return it with masks because I'm trying to modify it, right?
Right.
I'm going to come back in here and take a look at the data again because I'm now looking at it, and you'll notice I can still execute this. When I'm not leveraging the functions.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I'm going to execute it again. And I still have access to it, so the query still runs. Now, we identified some issues with the early builds of the CTP.
And if you execute certain functions, it avoids the actual call of the masking.
So now I'm going to go in here and create a second database.
That's pretty quick to create that. Again, it's very large.
Now I'm going to select from the employees table over into that other database. Now, if you notice here, going back up here, here's the values that I inserted.
Is that their salary? Aaron really needs to have a talk.
So let's go back through this again and talk through it. I added the mask and said made it default. Because it's a numeric value, it automatically will add zeros over that data. So what we were seeing was a salary of zero because we were returning the data mask. The reason why we saw it down here. So here we saw it with the reverted.
Oh, I'm over in the wrong database.
That's why. Let's go back here.
Execute again.
And you'll notice here we're getting zero.
Because we're masked here. This is not peon access, this is the employee.
No, this is the peon.
This is the peon accessing, not somebody.
Right, so when we were looking at zero data, I thought you were just doing a select from the table and there was no values in it.
Right. But it is.
But in reality, it was masked.
Gotcha.
It was masked with the default for that data type, which will return a zero.
And this is where you're telling them what it's going to return.
So now, because I'm converting this to character for the salary column, when you run this, it knows that it can't use the default mask of zero.
Okay.
Because it's now coming back as characters. So now you're getting to see what the default mask is for character data. So when I execute, you see X's instead of zero.
Yeah, so then it makes a little more sense. Right, gotcha.
So now when I go down here and I've executed that, I've created the new database, right? And I'm going to use the second database. As peon, this is one of the things that has been identified and we're still working through, and that's why what you're looking at is I'm running on CTP 2.4.
Okay. 2.3.0 actually, I believe, has corrected this. Okay.
Because I wasn't actually selecting the data to look at, but I was selecting it from one table into another table. It didn't use the mask.
Whereas it should have. Gotcha. So that's one of the things, again, CTP.
It's a loophole that's been picked up.
And already corrected.
And already working correct. That's correct.
Okay, good.
Right? So now I'm going to go in and I'm going to say I want to execute as peon. Let's do that again. And you'll notice that there is no employee table over in database two. So if I refresh this, we'll take a look at what's in database two. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In here, you don't see
you
a table.
You don't see a table.
Right.
So
at this point,
I haven't given
the user in database 2
mm-hmm.
or DDM 2. I haven't given that user access to the table.
Right.
So when they try to execute it, it tells me it errs out.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So although I can still do a select from one database to another. Right? If I don't have rights to read from the table over database two, I still have it locked down.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
But again, like I said, we do know that this is an issue.
We are correcting it.
Mm-hmm. And just a small example of dynamic data masking. And think about how you might be able to apply this to groups of users or individual users. I can actually lock down altogether using role-level security where a DBA has operational rights, but not data rights.
Not be able to see or modify the data in the database. But still be able to work with the stuff without having to touch the data. Good.
That's awesome.
So security enhancements coming.
We're listening.
You'll see more.
But, as Mike said,
Bring them on.
We're ready for you.
Yeah, so I mean, that's great. So again, this is all what's coming, and it's going to roll out first into Azure.
It is already there.
With the CTP.
That's right. So now, let me just make sure it's clear.
Okay.
In Azure, you have to be on a V12 database, a server that supports databases in the V12.
And we're talking a database, not a car engine.
I had a flashback of a Jaguar convertible with a V12. If you try to do this against a database that is a V2, which is the original database rollout of Azure.
Okay.
So V12 was the second release.
That's a big jump.
It is.
It was so revolutionary. It went 12 revs or 10 revs.
10 revs.
It's like Superman.
The V12 is actually very closely aligned to the current version of SQL Server with the enhancements that are not yet released in the on-prem but are available, like dynamic data masking and role-level security.
Awesome. So be careful when you try to go out there and turn it on or try it out.
You'll get an error message if you're in the V2 database. You need to make sure you're in a V12 database.
So make sure V12, you can start testing it today.
And the server has to be supported for V12. So you have to be careful of what region that database server is in.
Gotcha, because they're not all there yet.
No.
All right. Anything else for us on SQL? In the cloud and security.
Again, we're constantly adding in features. My next conversation with Mike is going to be around high availability and what we're doing in the always-on capabilities there. Really exciting news there. Still want to see some more stuff. And believe me, you're not the only one asking for stuff. We see stuff that you guys could use, and we're asking for it.
Absolutely.
So keep them coming. Let us know what you need.
And we'll push the SQL development teams for more stuff.
And as you have feedback, certainly there are mechanisms within Azure to provide that feedback. Also, remember, for all Microsoft products, including SQL, you can always go and Bing Microsoft User Voice, where we have forms that are out there. And the product teams themselves have folks monitoring those daily and engaging in conversations with you, the users, around our products, and they're queuing that stuff up for cloud delivery.
Yeah.
So,
and please, let Mike and I know what topics you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
20-minute segments, we'll do them.
Anything you want to know about database, we'd love to find out. So, you know, anything that you have interest on around data, around visualization, et cetera, all that.
And we want you to migrate those Oracle databases over to SQL Server.
Because you want to be with the big boy, the winner. The most used and the most secure.
That's right.
And we are.
We are.
Although you can't run your Oracle in Azure as well.
Yes, you can.
Because Azure is an equal opportunity
database provider.
Yes. We'll host it all. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you joined me. Don't leave yet.
I'm not going anywhere.
This is great. So, Stephen, why don't we switch around on our background here? Because we're going to start into the app of the week.
I'm excited to see it.
Yes.
So that way, when I do go to Windows 10 on my phone.
Well, actually, this one you can get for 8.1.
Woohoo!
You can grab this today. So,
see, there are certain people who actually need reliability, so I'm still on Windows 8.1. On my phone. Because I hear Mike pulling his hair out.
So I am on a daily. So for those of you who've been watching and seeing, there are public builds. You can be out. There's a fast ring and slow ring. So there's a lot. I'm not showing folks anything they aren't already seeing. I wouldn't be able to show you this. But you guys have been seeing that. But I am on a much more frequent cadence that constitutes a daily. Yes. Daily build. So when you get the new previews out there, I've already been there for a while. And I'm probably already well past you. But having said that, we're going to show you something you can get on any Windows phone today. And actually, I'm going to show two things. So let me get out of here. I am going to bring up our camera app. There it is.
Wow.
You like that?
I do.
See? So
there's Mike.
There I am, bobblehead Mike. We got Master Chief. Why are you not playing Halo 5 right now? My hairy hand. That's kind of scary. Bigfoot
is alive.
But we're going to be showing stuff off of my Lumia 1520. So there we go. Focus. I got to figure out how to turn off the autofocus. But so there's my Lumia 1520 running Windows 10. But we're going to show you two things. Before I get to the app of the week, I just have to share this. If you have Windows 10 on your phone, they updated the camera app for some folks.
Oh, nice.
With a new feature, something I've been wanting for a while. So check this out. Ready? So let's go ahead. We're going to bring this up. Ooh, Master Chief is up close and personal. I'm going to select camera mode. And up above here, there is a new icon. A turtle. I'm going to click the turtle.
Well, you know, I've been called a turtle before when they've seen me run.
So slow motion is on, so watch this. I'm going to go ahead, start it, and da-da-da-da-da-da. So there's my finger going fast. We'll stop it. Let that save. And then we're going to go ahead, bring up the video here, and watch this. There it is, slow motion. Ooh. Just what you've always wanted. So if you have your dogs, birthday parties, anywhere where anybody's acting like a fool, this is the perfect thing for you to be using.
Well, I'll tell you. You know what? I could have used that. I end up having to use another type of phone.
At the wedding?
No, last summer when we were working on our golf swing.
Ah.
Those glitches in the golf swing.
Yes.
Boy, we ended up having to use another phone that had that slow motion.
So slow motion is a great feature. I love it. A lot of fun. And again, for you're going out family events, and then you can use that in your sway.
Oh, they could have seen me doing the lasso over the weekend. You lasso in the dancer? Yeah.
Oh, during the wedding. And you lasso. I got you like the dance.
I pulled in my
daughter. Yeah, there you go.
She had to dance with me.
Awesome. So, yes, she's in slow-mo.
Slightly embarrassed.
Slightly younger daughter. That's all right. That's what
because dad has no rhythm.
That's what we're supposed to do is embarrass her. So that was one quick one, but I do have an app this week I wanted to share, and it is Comic It. It looks like this tile here. It says It Comic, but it really is Comic It. So if you're looking to do, I saw this the other day, and I thought, this could be an app that could be a lot of fun when you have different IT events, organizational events, and you want to create some imagery that actually tells something but make it fun.
Oh, I thought it was going to be jokes. I hope they were politically correct.
No, no. So here you go. When you bring up Comic It, it brings up, and you can see here the default is four tiles, four-tile screen. Think of it as a four, if you think about a comic book, and you had four windows of comic, and they have different options down below here, so you can see, here are a number of them, and I can go, and so we have ones like, and get out of my thing there, review assignments. So you have different ones that you can select, right? They have, again, all different sizes, shapes, makeups, single comic. And I'll go ahead and just, we'll select this one. And what it allows you to do is then start to pick pictures and then add some additional pieces. So, for example, let's go here. We'll click that.
I can use this for the pictures from the wedding.
Yeah, think about that, right? So here we go. We're going to have, let's say we'll bring in Tariq, one of our architects here. We'll click OK. There it is, and then I can drag it where I want. Whoa, look at that face. Once we have that, I'm going to select the little dots down here so it brings us up. You can see it says layout mode. You can change that. Stickers, which are pretty cool, and bubbles. So let's go ahead, and we're going to add a sticker. So let's say we want to make Tariq.
Oh, he needs those wacky eyes.
Let's give him wacky eyes. So here it is, and we can go ahead here and resize them. The shape, then drag it to position it, right?
Oh, I like this.
Huh? There we go. So once we're done with the eyes, then we can go ahead and move on to the next. Maybe we want to put a bubble. So we're going to pick a bubble for text. And it is ad supported. It's free, this app. And so let's go ahead and we'll grab a bubble. And again, we can resize that. We can reposition it. So let's grab it. Put it right here. Then it says enter text. So now we're going to say, and say
Skype.
Skype, there we go. Skype. Question, exclamation. There we go. And once we're done with that, we can go minimize that piece. And then we can go on and do that for each of our windows. When we're done, we click save. And then it's ready to share out with social, post it up to your intranet, whatever it is. But a lot of fun. You could also put actual things here, like, you know, Office 365 tip of the day.
I wouldn't suggest that you do this comics with pictures of your boss.
That would probably not be a good one unless he was in on the joke to begin with.
But yes. It could be a career limiting move.
Could be career limiting, again, unless you're featuring him as like the superhero or something else. Him or her. So, again, it's called Comic It. You can find that on the store if you just simply go up to the Microsoft Store. And again, you're seeing the new store here. Kind of slick on mine. And we'll go ahead and search and just put in Comic It. Right? And there it is. So, you know, I could just go. There we go. Click that. It's going to bring back all the results of apps. This is the one I have. The one. It's the one in blue, so it has the It. But you'll notice there's other comic stuff that you can use as well. This is one that I happen to like. Again, it's free. But if you look at all of these, they're all free. They have another one, Comic Show. Allows you to do like a flip book comic.
That's
cool.
Great.
There's all kinds of cool stuff. So check it out. Comic It on the Windows phone. You can get this if you have Windows 8.1 or higher. Again, I am running 10, which I am loving. And that's it for that app. And so why don't we come on back here, Steven? And I'm going to go ahead and close that. We have some additional information, upcoming events. So first off, very excited to announce, in addition to the events we have that I'm going to mention here, starting in January, Skype TX, we talk about it being a part of our infrastructure.
Sure.
We're going to be leveraging the living bejeebies out of Skype TX. And so it's something you might want to think about as an enterprise, remote presenters, experts, et cetera. So we are starting in January. I actually already have three sessions lined up, starting in January going on forward, with folks from Microsoft Corporate.
Wow.
So we have two sessions in a row featuring Mark Cashman. They're not on our schedule here yet. I'm going to post those up. We're going to start adding meeting invites, so you can just add it to your calendar. But Mark Cashman is going to do two in a row for us on aspects around Office 365. You're not familiar, Mark Cashman is one of the senior program or product managers for SharePoint Online.
You're really getting the reach there.
We're reaching out. And he's just an all-around great guy, too. So Mark's going to do two in a row. We're following Mark with another Mark, Mark Ross, who is the program manager in charge of the video for Office 365 group. And he's going to talk about where it's at, how people are using it, what's new, and some things coming down the pike.
I might have to get a program manager named Mark to come and join us.
You know what? So, which we're wide open for all areas. So we'd also like to know from you, the viewer, as you're watching these, if there are folks that you'd like to see us feature. Maybe it's even an MVP out there, a Microsoft partner or somebody else. Skype TX, we can pull in people from anywhere remote as a camera feed. Hey, if you watch Jimmy Kimmel, Oprah, all kinds of these different shows.
Let's reach out to The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson?
Yeah.
Do you know him? Because I don't know how I could get him.
He's got to have a phone call.
Right, have a phone, that's right. Anybody who has Skype on a device, like a phone. And so there are some things we're also looking at for some different things, like people in the parking lot, et cetera, using these.
Yeah, so we thought about actually using Skype over the weekend because my mom and dad were not able to come down to the wedding. My mom's sick. We were going to actually Skype them if my mother and father actually knew how to use the computer. But nobody was there to help them out because they were with us. But it's a good way, you know, if somebody can't participate,
get
them to join in.
Virtually.
And you just let them say hello, and at least they got the joy to be there.
That's right. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned, I actually did that a couple of years ago with Skype for my niece's wedding. She got married when I was down in North Carolina just before I left. Her husband, Amir, his family, they were refugees from Bosnia during the
I thought you were going to say he wasn't there.
No, he was there. But a lot of their family, they were refugees during the Bosnia clan, those wars that went on, and so when they left, there was a number of them scattered all over. So we set up a Skype session so they could join. We had a camera pointed, and I had his sister came up to me. And she, at one point, gave me a big hug, which was nice because his sister's like 5'11", looks like a supermodel. I wasn't complaining. She came up because I got to thank you. I'm not going to hug you. Give me a little peck on the cheek. She said because they had folks that were watching it in a number of countries. She got texts from.
That's great.
That's beautiful. So sharing that out. But we're going to be using Skype TX to pull people in remote. So we're thinking of some really cool scenarios, but right off the bat, we're going to start bringing in some experts from Redmond, but I think we're going to do some other interesting uses of Skype on the go, because a phone, think about it, can go anywhere. I'm thinking somebody needs to go to Geno's or Pat's downtown.
Now with the new translator and being able to do Skype translation, it's a great way to communicate with people who you would not have thought of that.
We could get some people speaking in a native language and do it like that. That would rock.
Yeah.
Whoa! Okay, so, we do have some...
You know what? I'll be the sacrificial lamb. I'm going to go over to Ireland. And I'll be the person that does the interviews over there to send it back. How about that?
Yeah, that's big of you, Bill.
You just have to convince Tim.
I was thinking I should go to Positano for a couple, but so we do have some upcoming events. So next week, I do want to say there is no live streaming. I'm going to be out in Redmond for the week. So I'm on the road.
Lucky you.
You know, my wife brought it up yesterday. She said, oh, you must be. I said, you know, I'm looking forward to a week of kind of. But I'm not looking forward to the travel. I'd rather be home, to be honest. So, rather be here. But I'm going to be in Redmond for the week, so there will be no live broadcast. I am going to do some Michael on the go on demand, so you'll be able to see that on our site. Having said that, after I get back on 11/23, Midday Cafe, so we have a special guest coming in, Brian. Wants to talk about is going to have a thing on Cortana Analytics. Brian Charles on Cortana Analytics. So I've seen nothing about, I've heard it's rocking, some of the stuff around it. So he said he's going to have a piece for us together around that. I actually have to follow up with him today on it. But if you are interested in some of the cool things Cortana can do using indices, indexing of data in Cortana to then intelligently query that and render. That is crazy.
Yeah. And if I know what he's going to demo, pretty slick applications, and many people can take the idea and easily adapt it to their business environment. Yeah.
So if you want to impress your boss with some crazy analytic stuff, you want to tune in for this. Then we're going to follow that on 12/7. I have another guest. Satyen. I just like saying Satyen. It's going to be in the house. So Satyen oversees our small business segment.
Okay. Not Satya.
No, not Satya. No. No. This is a live in person. Satyen. Satyen. Not Satya. Although I have heard he's been requesting to be in. We'll have to see if we're going to allow that. But Satyen is going to be in the house, and he's going to be talking about the Microsoft Office 365 Matter Center. So for your folks who are involved with legal within your organizations, right? Or you may have legal firms, but really, this the genesis of this started with Microsoft's own legal group called LCA. They needed to have Matter Center. They call them client matters, and it's this whole legal jargon around how they handle the documentation and blah, blah. It's not my forte.
You know when they start talking that legal jargon? I'm like this.
Yes, that's me. But luckily for us, Satyen is heavily versed in
this. Down into plain English.
And what he's going to talk about is how we took our own effort where we customized for our legal group an enterprise-ready, state-of-the-art matter center built on 365. We've released it.
Wow.
So that anybody can implement. We have some partners that are trained and we have identified partners for implementing this, and we also have open sourced it so anybody can take this and implement it in their 365 environment. So he's going to be doing that and showing how it works. There's actually, right now, there's a part of it. I just saw it the other day. I was getting a plugin with one of the new app plugins for Outlook 2016, and there it was. I was like, whoa, what am I going to do with that? But Satyen will be covering that. That's really going to bring us up to, I believe, we might have one more before year end. But I don't think so.
A holiday special one?
We might do like a holiday special or something.
Mike in a costume?
Maybe. I don't know. It could be scary.
I think there's enough demand.
Yeah. Big demand. So that's what's coming up. As always, if you have questions around SQL and Azure 2016, if you have questions about anything you saw, we highly encourage you. Our call to action is this. Talk to your Microsoft reps and ask to get in to see your MTC architect experts. You know, Bill is our resident one here, so if you're in the Mid-Atlantic region, Bill would love to talk to you about SQL 2016, about SQL and Azure,
big data, BI, Power BI, Excel, Power Pivot, Power Query.
All of the powers.
All the powers.
All the powers.
He's ready to talk to you. But everywhere, worldwide, we have, what are we at now? Like, this is an old map now. We're like up to 37?
There are 30 full centers.
30
There's
full.
There's another three opening shortly. And then many of the centers have satellites, like Atlanta has a satellite down in Charlotte.
Charlotte, yep, for those larger districts.
Yeah.
So, there, I mean, we are all over. There's a Microsoft Technology Center near you. Take advantage of it. Come in with world-class experts like Bill and others who can help you. And we're
here. And Mike.
Well, you might not. I don't know about that. But at any rate, we thank you. With that, this is Mike Giannotti and
Bill Emmert,
along with producer. His mic is off. Just say it. It's producer. Yell. Steve Castellani. Bidding you have a great day. Have a great week. Let us know how we can help you. Take care, and as always, ciao.